From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. U.S. Senate has voted to reopen the federal government. The lawmakers had voted 71-28 earlier today to renew the government's funding, which expired a few hours earlier. And even before that, a single Republican senator tried to hold up the bipartisan bill. Senate Majority Leader Republican Mitch McConnell spoke before the Senate chamber.
The bipartisan agreement before us funds our troops, addresses the opioid crisis, funds our veterans, and many other shared priorities. The Speaker of the House supports the bill, is waiting for it to pass the Senate. The President of the United States supports the bill and is waiting to sign it into law.
The House of Representatives must now agree to that deal. House politicians expected to have a pre-dawn vote today. Democrats blocked a stopgap spending bill in January, triggering a three-day partial federal government shutdown. U.S. Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis says the U.S. is not trying to get involved in the years-long Syrian civil war after U.S.-led coalition airstrikes killed about 100 pro-government forces who had attacked coalition-backed Syrian Democratic Forces. Some 300 pro-government forces attacked the SDF headquarters near Deir ez-Zor, Syria, this week, but retreated after the coalition blocked out their artillery and two of their tanks. U.S.-backed Kurdish fighters have captured two fugitive British Islamic State converts who are part of a group of four terrorists known for their heinous acts. The officials identified the two as Alexander Cody and El-Shafi El-Sheikh. The four became notorious for beheading their Western hostages. This is VOA News. Britain's Brexit Secretary David Davis has criticized the European Union's decision to publish a document showing it has the power to restrict British access to the single market during a transition period after it leaves the bloc. Davis spoke with Sky News.
I thought that document was hardly a legal document, it was a political document. What we're about is building an implementation period which is to build a bridge to a future where we work well together. And I do not think it was in good faith to publish a document with, frankly, discourteous language and actually implying that they could arbitrarily terminate, in effect, the implementation period. That's not what the aim of this exercise is. It's not in good faith, and we think it was unwise to publish that.
Davis added that British ministers still have not finalized an approach to Brexit after discussions led by Prime Minister Theresa May on the government strategy. Pakistan's Minister for the Interior, Ahsan Iqbal, says the United States' attempt to cut Pakistan's military and/or civilian aid may lead to further complications in the relations between the two countries. Two members of the U.S. House of Representatives say Pakistan is a country that knowingly provides resources for terrorists. Pakistan denies the charge and counters by saying it has paid a heavy price for fighting against terrorists. And Russia has warned that Islamic State is turning northern Afghanistan into what they call a resting base for international terrorism and a bridgehead for establishing a destructive caliphate in the region. That story now from VOA's Pernell Murdoch.
Russian ambassador to Pakistan, Alexei Dedov, said that the group's international wing was spearheading the effort of terrorists spilling over the borders of Syria and Iraq and moving worldwide. Russia and Iran accused the United States of supporting Islamic State's rise in Afghanistan. Washington rejects the charges as rumors and says its operations in partnership with Afghan forces against IS bases in the country have significantly degraded and reduced the number of terrorists. Pernell Murdoch, VOA News, Washington.
United Nations has granted approval for a high-level North Korean delegation to travel to South Korea for the Olympics beginning today, granting an exemption on sanctions against the repressive regime. The exemption directly affects Cho Wi, a senior leader of the North Korean Workers' Party, who has been on the United Nations sanctions blacklist since 2017 and is the subject of a travel and asset freeze. The delegation will include North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's younger sister, Kim Yo-jong, who is blacklisted by the U.S. Treasury, but not by the United Nations. Get more news at voanews.com.
That's the latest world news from VOA.